First step, first day of school, first kiss, fall out, was fooling the first night, spent away from home, first month, learning how to sleep alone. Though I try, I realize, can't push that pain away. Every day in some little way, I know I am gonna miss you. First time I stood up for what I know, that moment in time I knew I had to let you go. First time truly willing to forget, finding freedom and forgiveness with every honest misstep. Though I try, I realize, can't push that pain away. Every day in some little way, I know I am gonna miss you. First time I feel my world come crashing in, shoulder the weight of what might have been. First time living through the ache, learning a heart beats even after it breaks. Though I try, I realize, can't push that.
That was Every Honest Misstep from the album Uneven Ground by Lynn Hansen, who's been the recipient of the Colleen Peterson Songwriting Award and is half of the duo The Lynns, two Canadian Folk Music Awards. She's also just this week released a new single from her forthcoming album Just Words. I spoke with Lynn over Skype. Lynn, thank you so much for joining me for Indie Beat.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, May. I really appreciate it.
Tell me a little bit about your early musical history. Did you discover your passion for music at a young age or come to it later in life?
I loved music as a kid. I used to, apparently, this is the story, the family mythology, is that I used to sit in the corner. We had this really cheap organ, and I used to sit in the corner with this organ, and I would play songs over and over and over again. And it's probably similar to what kids do these days with, you know, like the little YouTube and whatnot, songs to their parents, where they play, you know, like 100 times in a row. But that's what I would do with these songs that I was listening to from my older brothers and sisters. And I would sing them and learn them, and I would just play the same song for like 2 weeks straight over and over and over again. That's kind of my musical beginnings.
When did you discover that the guitar was your instrument of choice?
My older brother, again, I keep saying I have all these older siblings. I am the youngest of eight children, and I have brothers and sisters that are a lot older than I am. And so as a kid, you know, you always want to emulate, I think, your older brothers and sisters. And my brother had an acoustic guitar that he didn't really play. And so I'd be sitting around all the time, and I wanted to, you know, I kind of wanted to be like him. And so I started learning how to play the guitar when I was about 14. I started learning how to play the guitar. And then that was sort of my beginnings of actually playing an instrument, was to play the guitar.
Do you currently have a favorite or an especially beloved one?
I have an Oscar Graf. So Oscar is a luthier. He's semi-retired now, but he's in Ontario, not too far from where I live, a couple hours. And he builds the most beautiful acoustic instruments. And I bought one of his guitars back in 2006. which is the same year that I put out my first record. And I have written every song pretty much since then on this guitar, other than, like, I have a Gretsch guitar as well that I write when I'm writing on electric. But when I write on an acoustic guitar, this is the guitar that I write on. So it's probably my most prized possession, just because it contains all of my, you know, all my creative songwriting history in terms of my recorded material on it and in it. So, yeah, that's probably the guitar that I love the most.
How do you approach that songwriting? Do you typically tend to start with a melody, a hook, or a riff, or are you more likely to start with an idea for lyrics?
Well, you know, it's funny because we were driving back yesterday from Connecticut, and it was about an 8-hour drive, and I did all the driving. And we were having these huge conversations in the car, myself and the guitar player, and every so often I would say something, and I'd say to the person sitting in the back seat, I'm like, you need to write that down. And, you know, it wasn't even necessarily a line. Sometimes it was a line, but sometimes it was an idea. And it was kind of a picture that I would have in my head. And I said, you need to write that down and just, like, send it to me so I don't lose the idea. Because typically when I'm driving, especially, I'll write some idea down. Or if I'm around the house or something, I might get a little thought cross my mind and I'll write it down. But for me, the song begins on the guitar. And so I will take these lists or these ideas or these things that I can't get out of my head, and I'll start them as ideas. And then I'll, as soon as I transpose them onto the guitar, as soon as they make their way, you know, onto those six strings, that's when it starts to become part of my actual writing process, and a song will start to develop.
You mentioned you released your first album back in 2006. You'll be releasing your seventh studio record in February. How do you feel your sound has evolved with your newer music?
I think there's a big jump between, you know, my last record and this one. I think when I put out an album called River of Sand in 2014, and that was the first record that I had put out when I've been sober for 8 years. And so River of Sand was the first record that I put out when I was a sober person. And I think you really do see a lot of change in yourself as you go through big changes, like, you know, sobriety. And I think, to me, Uneven Ground, which was the last of one of my solo records that I put out, was kind of a transition to this record, in that I was trying to find a different sound. So I think I had found different ways of expressing myself with words with River Sand, but on this record I've learned how to express myself with sound as well. And so I think for me as an artist, it's one of those odd things where I feel like I sort of finally have managed to put the two things together. And I think choosing to work with a producer like Jim Bryson, who's got such a different background than I do, it was such a complimentary thing to work with him and to bring my songs to him, because I knew that he could bring something to the production of the record that wouldn't be something that I might, you know, default to. And so I think I'm most proud of this record because I think it's the most complete thing that I've done in my career up to this point in time.
Is the record also tied together by a theme to the lyrical content?
The name of the record is just words. And, you know, I consider myself, I've been called a heartbreak poet, and I consider myself, you know, to be someone who loves the craft of lyric writing. And the songwriting is just so dependent. The strength of the songwriting, I think, is really dependent on words being able to say something. Now, you don't need a lot of words to say a lot, but you know, when you are going to put those words in there, they need to mean something. And so for me, when I was deciding, like, what did I want the title of the record to be, I thought just words, because, you know, it was just to draw attention to the importance of words and how words, when they stand alone, how powerful they can be, and then when you surround them with music, it makes them very accessible. And I think for me, in terms of a theme of this record, it's, you know, there's a couple different things and a couple different areas that I look at. There's certainly the usual heartbreak songs, because it's hard to get away from that. We're human. And I think the idea of, you know, having your heart broken or just some kind of relationship stuff, I think it's what people, you know, can most easily relate to, because we all, you know, we all want love or have being in love, or have sought love. But then I also, I think for the first time in my career, I kind of, with intent, I started to look at topics that went beyond, you know, just the, you know, that kind of, like, relationship type stuff. And and looking at the broader state of the human condition. And so, you know, the song Just Words, it's about verbal bullying, and I think it's about the impact that words can have on people and how we don't realize sometimes just how powerful they can be in terms of hurting people, especially, you know, the idea of verbal bullying, and that, you know, sticks and stones will break your bones, words will never hurt you. It's not true. You know, words can cause a lot of damage. And then, you know, there's other songs on the record that look at other topics, you know, like sort of trying to get above your emotions and to do the right thing and that, you know, to try and get along with one another and not to focus on differences. And I think that's an element of my songwriting that is very, very new for me. And it's probably just reflecting a little bit more of a mature outlook in terms of saying, you know, maybe I can get my focus beyond just me.
Daddy's little girl says she's his whole world. He never raised a hand, 'cause he ain't that kind of man. Never pays any mind the things he says that are so unkind. Careless words that cut so deep and teach her what she's supposed to be. Nobody's gonna save you. Nobody's gonna make a way for you. Nobody thinks it matters what they say. Just words anyway. Just words anyway. Young boys can be so sweet, so cruel, so indiscreet. Young girls spreading lies in the dark. Nasty bite to go with that bark. Keep your head down, keep your head down, keep your head down. Don't make a sound, make a sound, don't make a sound. Get lost, stay safe in the crowd, 'cause whispered words can be so goddamn loud. Nobody's gonna save you. Nobody's gonna make a way for you. Nobody thinks it matters what they say. Just words anyway. Just words anyway. Just words anyway.